Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat
on
shalom.
Live stream. Shabbat shalom, everybody in the house. People are coming in. And I want to welcome everybody. And I want to welcome the folks online. Glad to have you with us today. I'm Rabbi Joe. And for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I put a picture of Jonathan Kahn yesterday and me at a conference. We were together. Rabbi Kahn and I have roomed in the same apartments and been at many conferences together through the years. So anyway, I put a picture on Facebook and I said, as kind of a joke, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn will not be preaching here today, but Rabbi Joe will. But for those of you who don't know Rabbi Joe, I'm Rabbi Joe Bell, and I am the rabbi here of Ar Yehuda Messianic Congregation, Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia, and we're also based in Tennessee, which is about a stone's throw up the road. Anyhow, if you don't know me, I am prophetic like Rabbi Kahn, but I not as well known, of course, but I do have my messages at the conferences have sold second and third neck after his many years in a row since 2014. And I encourage you, if you don't know us, to go on to our, you're on our website now watching, to go to the newsletters and check out the Last President of the United States newsletters. You can check out the wedding newsletters are great, as a great series. And then you can check out, I did a series recently on the bridegroom and the second coming. On our live stream, you can go into our archives of our live stream and you can scroll through to sermons. So if you want to check us out, and Ron, you do that. You checked us out. You like those sermons sometimes? Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. So we have a testimony here. Amen. So you can check us out, and we are the kind of the Pony Express, Anthony, aren't we, of Messianic Judaism?
Hand them up, move them out.
We're the outpost here in Southern Virginia.
Hallelujah.
Southwestern Virginia. But we invite you to come down to the beautiful Appalachian Smoky Mountain region through the Shenandoah Valley. It's beautiful here, and we welcome you to join us. We're going to get underway now. And I'm going to get my bass on. Hold on one sec. Say hello.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Thank you. Shabbat shalom, everyone at home.
Okay. Okay, we've got Diane to my far right, and we have Miss Carolyn to my immediate right, and Mr. Anthony Cody over here on my left, and there's lovely Chandler Anna sitting next to Billy there in the second row. Good morning. How you doing? All right, so we ready to begin?
Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Yom Zeh Israel. Yom Zeh Israel. Yom Zeh Israel, Ohav Simcha. Yom Zeh Israel, Ohav Simcha. Ohav Simcha. Shabbat Menucha. Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha.
Hey!
Hallelujah!
This day for Israel.
Let's clap our hands out there.
This day for Israel. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath. Day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest.
Amen. And the sound folks, you can come up on stage and check out the sound level occasionally. You are welcome. All right. Isaac, could you turn my bass up a little bit back here?
Okay, let's see.
The blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. We are Jews and non-Jews who believe that Yeshua, that Jesus is the Messiah. And we've been here for 19 years in Southwest Virginia in Northeast Tennessee, and we are affiliated with the MJA and the IAMCS. If you're interested in knowing about that, so what's next, Miss Diane?
Matavu.
Okay.
Matavu.
I love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Okay. We're going to do the Vishamru at this time, page 45. All right. Vishamru
b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat ledo tamburit olam. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat ledo tamburit olam. B'nei Israel, O'hili Olam, Vishamru, B'nei Israel, Et HaShabbat, Lasod et HaShabbat, Ledor Tamburit Olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim v'yeharetz. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledor tamburit olam. V'yom ha-shvi Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledor tamburit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. In the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to sing Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem.
Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them. Prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace, not war. Lord, bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Rabbi, we've got some immediate news or urgency. Pittsburgh Synagogue right now, there's an active shooter, and there's some fatalities right now.
Oh, no.
We
oh,
just got the news right now.
At a Messianic synagogue?
Is it Messianic, Carol? It's Pittsburgh Synagogue.
Okay. Well, let's just pray for them. Heavenly Father, we just pray for whatever the synagogue is in Pittsburgh. We just bind this attack right now in the name of Yeshua, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that there's security there. You are the security, Lord. You are our security. We dwell under the shadow of your wings, Lord. And you are our shelter. You are our tower, our refuge, our fortress, our strong defense, Lord. You are a mighty shield, Lord. We just ask that you save those people. Save your people in Pittsburgh, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, we pray that the gun would jam. We pray, Lord, that they would catch this perpetrator. Lord, we pray that he would be dealt with, and that you would be dealt with according to your will, Lord. And we pray that you stop him. Stop him right now. In the name of Yeshua, stop him, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We pray for a good report out of there, Pittsburgh, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. The servant of the Lord.
Servant of the Lord. Now, the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Well, as you're getting ready for Avinu Malkeinu, do you have it? Okay. I'm going to pray for Israel. I didn't get to pray. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I want to pray shalom, Yerushalayim, and shalom, Kol Yisrael. We pray for the peace of Israel, of Jerusalem, and all Israel. Lord, we pray for what's going on the Gaza border. We pray, Lord, that you would just make these kites with bombs in them and fire kites and fire balloons just that they would just blow up in the air, Lord, and that their fires would go out, Lord. We pray that the rockets they're shooting into Israel would go into the fields, that they would go into the desert, that they would go into the water, but they would not hit people, Lord. We just pray for the protection of your people, Israel, Lord. We pray, Lord, that through this trial and the terror that they are experiencing, that they come to know their Messiah, that you reveal yourself as the one who saves them, Lord. We pray for the salvation, that you open the eyes of your people Israel and let them know that your word says in Jeremiah, for Jewish people watching, it says that God made a new covenant in Jeremiah 31:31. For our Jewish friends who don't read the Bible, if you pull out your bar mitzvah Bible, you read Jeremiah the prophet. He's a Jewish prophet, Jeremiah 31:31. It says, "Behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their ancestors, my covenant which they broke, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with them in those days. And I will put my Torah, my law, within them, and I will write it on their inner parts and on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no more shall they be saying to one another, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, saith the Lord." And so that new covenant was instituted at a Passover nearly 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. We're gonna when a man named Yeshua of Nazareth, Yeshua Hanotzri, when he took the third cup of the Passover meal and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," and he took the afikomen and he broke it and he said, "This is my body given for you." He was telling his talmidim, his disciples, "I'm going to die as your sacrifice. I'm the perfect sinless man because I'm fully man and fully God. And I'm going to die for your sins for once and forever. You'll not have to sacrifice bulls, goats, or lambs ever again. And so you can know that the old covenant, the Moses covenant, is gone. It's done away with. And if you're living under it, there's a new covenant that you need to know about through Jesus, through Yeshua. Hallelujah. Tree of Life, Messianic. Okay, you guys can write me a note. Just bring me a note, please. Okay? Thank you. All right, let's...
Avinu Malkeinu,
yeah. And let me know who the rabbi is, please. You find out at IAMCS.org.
Avinu Malkeinu, maker of all things, ruling o'er the works of your hands.
Of your hands,
you loved us so.
You sent your Son,
to take our sin
and shame. So
you sent
your Son
to take our sin
and shame. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name.
Hallelujah. You know, I've been saying that our Jewish people are going to return from the West. Aliyah is going to take place. Aliyah means several things. The word Aliyah in Hebrew means upper room. It means the prayers of ascent, the Psalms of ascent in the book of Psalms. The word for ascent is Aliyah. And when you come up to carry the Torah or to read, that's an Aliyah, same word. It's you're just coming up to the bima, to the altar, and you're stepping up, and that's an aliyah. And the word for upper room is aliyah, and so it has several meanings. But the word for Exodus, or the return of the Jewish people back to the Holy Land, is aliyah, and it's the common word known for return of the Jews. The Jewish people have not returned in mass numbers from the West, because they've been very comfortable. And, we predicted when Donald Trump... we predicted in February. I did three sermons in February of 2016 predicting that Donald Trump would be president and that he would win. This is not a political message, what I'm saying, but that he would win. There were still about nine other Republican candidates that he was fighting against, let alone the Democrats. We predicted that he would destroy ISIS. We predicted that he would that the stock market would go up when he took over, and it did tremendously, although it's struggling right now. We predicted that the Jewish people would return to Israel because of persecution in this country. And does anybody remember that? Amen. And we also predicted that the last thing, based on Daniel 8, and you can get this message on our website, The Last President of the United States, Parts 1 and 2. If you go to our website and go to newsletters, you can see that newsletter. That after the Jewish people return to Israel, Donald Trump's going to help the Jewish people, the U.S. military, and it's all explained in the newsletter how they're going to do that, and in the message. We have CDs of the message you can get. But that after the Jewish people return from the West to Israel in fulfillment of God's calling that we would inherit the land forever as an everlasting covenant and fulfillment of the law of Jubilee, that we would be restored to the land of Israel in Leviticus 25. The last thing that Donald Trump, great thing that he'll do, is take out Iran's nuclear weapons. He will take out Iran's nuclear capability. And if he doesn't do it, and as you read Daniel 8, you'll see it's about a king from the West, a great king from the West, who flies over the whole earth with his military. And a horn in the Bible is a sign of power, of military power. And that horn crashes into Persia, a ram with two horns. And he destroys that ram. And that is it's prophetic today of the destruction of the Iranian military regime and their power. Because if Iran has nuclear weapons, which they're threatening to destroy Israel and to destroy the United States, if they destroyed Israel, that would make God a liar, wouldn't it? Amen. If Iran was able to nuke Israel, the Bible doesn't say that. And so if they were able to do it, it would make God's word untrue. It would make God a liar. And God can't, just like Goliath couldn't defeat Israel, the Goliath of Iran has to be defeated. And there is a David, in the Oval Office, who has the stones. He has the five stones to defeat the Iranian Goliath. And he is going to destroy it. It says so. Read Daniel 8. It's it's a dual fulfillment of the prophecy. There, it's talking about Alexander the Great, but it's also talking about, if you read it, the prophecy, it says the last days. It's talking about the last days. Okay, let's continue on. What is
Shema?
Shema. Okay, let's all rise for the Shema. Hallelujah. How do you like our new projector? It projects well.
Yes.
Spent 4 hours yesterday getting that puppy up there. I didn't know we had one. I mean, I knew we had one, but I didn't know it would fit up there. And it's brighter than the other one. Praise God. All right. Let's do the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, B'chol Levavcha, U'b'chol Nafshecha, U'b'chol Me'odecha, V'hayu HaDivarim Ha'ele, Asher Nachim Etzavcha Hayom Al Levavecha, Vishinatam Levanecha, Bidibarta Baham, Beshivtacha Bevetecha, Ulechtacha Vaderech, Uveshach Bechaha, Uvekumecha, Ukashartam, Liot Alyadecha, Bahayu Totafot Bene Necha, Ukhatavtam, Almazazot Betecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. I am really looking forward to saying them when I retire. Aren't you? Some of you? All right, we're going to sing Micha Mocha, which is the oldest hymn in existence, to my knowledge. It comes from Exodus 15.
Mocha Belim Adonai, Micha Mocha Nedar Bakodesh. No ratelilo
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord,
and there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned,
the Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength unto his people,
the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to have our Torah procession. So I'm going to call... do you go by John or Jim? Jim. Jim, would you come up? And Ron, would you come up? And they're going to carry the Torah today. Amen. Anthony will open the ark. And... it's good to see Wendell and Maria back there, and Crystal Lynn. Hi, Crystal Lynn. How you doing, honey? There's Billy hiding in the front row. Billy, say hi to Crystal Lynn. Crystal Lynn, say hi to Billy. All right. She's a little shy today, Billy. Hi, Miss Aja. How you doing today? Shabbat Shalom. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. We'll pray for you. It's always a painful to lose a pet. 16 years, huh? Wow. That's a good long time, though. Yeah. Wow. Isn't that something? Yeah. Okay. We'll pray for you, and we're going to continue on with the service, okay? So let's do, we're going to process with the Torah. Hine Matov.
Hine Matov Umanayim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad Hine Matov Umanayim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad Hine Matov Shevet Achim Gam Yachad Hine Matov Shevet Achim Gam Yachad Hine matov umanayim Shevet achim gam yachad Hine matov umanayim Shevet achim gam yachad Hine
gam yachad. Hinei ma tovu ma naim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hinei ma tovu ma naim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hinei ma tov, hinei ma tov. La 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 la. Hinei ma tov, hinei ma tov. La 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 la. How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. In unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. In unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la.
More songs so you can keep processing.
Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he did not even open his mouth. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the sins of my people he was slain. HaMashiach Yeshua, Messiah Jesus is Lord. HaMashiach Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. It was the will of his father to crush him and take his life in place of our own. But he arose from the dead and lives evermore. Every knee shall bow before his throne. HaMashiach Yeshua, Messiah Jesus is Lord. HaMashiach Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, he did not even open his mouth. It was the will of his father to crush him. For the sins of my people he was slain. And take his life in place of our own. But he arose from the dead and lives evermore. Every knee shall bow before his throne. HaMashiach Yeshua, Messiah Jesus is Lord. HaMashiach Yeshua, the Lamb of God we adore. HaMashiach Yeshua, Messiah Jesus is Lord. HaMashiach Yeshua,
Vayahibin Soharon Vayomer Moshe Kuma Adonai Viafutsu Oivecha Vianusu Misanecha Mipanecha Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah Udvar Adonai Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael B'kdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from will go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamvorach.
Baruch Adonai
Hamvorach Yolam Vaed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim Enatan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe,
who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Do we ever get an update on the synagogue shooting?
I'll give the update.
Well, I got one from my phone. It was 8 people were shot. 2 policemen and 4 are dead, but they do have the shooter in custody. The last that, and it was texted on the prayer line from someone. I don't know if it's Buzz and Linda had texted or not, but they were a progressive synagogue.
It wasn't a messianic synagogue.
No, it wasn't messianic.
Okay. It was a progressive Jewish synagogue. I don't know what progressive is. Our hearts grieve for these people, but I also want to thank God it wasn't a messianic synagogue.
Yes.
We already prayed for them, yes. the people and who were shot. Some of you came in late, but we prayed for them earlier. But we pray. We'll continue to pray for the souls of and the families of the people. Who are wounded, and the people who are the families of those involved, and for the whole synagogue, we'll pray for them. And Yeshua's name, amen. I'm gonna turn it over to Mr. Anthony Cody right now, and I thank God because I have my friend Jeff Kipp is up there, I believe, in Pittsburgh, and I was a little nervous about that, but kind of have a little sigh of relief that Rabbi Kipp was okay. Praise God.
Okay, today's the Torah portion is Vayira. It's from Genesis 18 through chapter 24. You know, life is a test, and our souls, you know, when they enter our physical body, when we're born here on the earth, you know, we become sinners by nature. And it's only through our souls that we can come to an understanding and appreciation to God only when we have that intimate relationship with him. And you know, today, if you read the Torah portion, last week we talked a lot about Abraham, and you know, his tent was a place of fellowship, because you know, one of the things that Abraham did was that he expounded to everyone he could meet, everyone he met, on the deity of God and the fact there was only one God, and that was the God of Israel. You see, here today, our synagogue, this synagogue, your synagogue here, is just like Abraham's tent. You see, we have a great, whether we know it or not, we have a great influence upon this community and upon this city. just by our presence being here, that is an influence, whether you know it or not. But you see, I think that influence really exceeds our prayers and our ministry, even though that's the biggest part. That is it, I guess you could say. But we have a great influence here in this place. You see, God tested Abraham, but Abraham still trusted God. You know, if you read the Torah portion today, you would know that God tells Abraham in the 22nd verse to take Isaac, which was his own, which it says his son that he loved, because Ishmael was a son born from the maiden of Sarah. And he says, you will take him to Mount Moriah, and there you will offer him as an accent offering. You see, God tested Abraham in his faith and if he trusted God. But I think really when you look at this, you have to realize the test was upon God too, because God had to prove to Abraham that the covenant would still be extended to Isaac. So if he had slain him, the covenant would have stopped there unless another child was born. But that wasn't God's plan. You see, almost like a contradiction to God's word, because he told him that his son would be the heir of the legacy of the continuation of the land of Israel, the ownership. So it was really a test of God, God's faithfulness to Abraham. Both of them were tested. I think God tested him to see if he would actually offer and trust him to rescue his son before he was killed. You know, but Abraham's walk of faith tells us a lot about the faith, because he saw the hand of God moving in many directions and many times in his life. You see, believing is the principle of understanding that will create our walk of faith, that is through an understanding of what God can and will do. You see, when God appeared to Abraham, he only appeared to him when he went back to Cana after he had been in Egypt. And there, when the three visitors came, God changed Abraham's name, and he told him that he would have the son that later would be offered as a sacrifice. And God changed the name of Abraham, and he changed the name of Sarah, and all he did was add the letter, the Hebrew letter hey, which is the letter that looks like a house, and the part of it is broken. What's interesting to note that when God changes a name, it has a significant impact on why he does that. You see, if you look at the letter hey, it appears in the name of God two times. So it's important to understand that God put that name in there because his name Abram, before it was changed to Abraham, meant that he was a mighty father. But God put the hey in there, and he changed his name to Abraham, and thus he became the father of multitudes. That's what it means. In Hebrew, it means Av Haman Goyim, which is interesting because it says he will be the father of multitudes. And so we see that Abraham became that. People are become into the tree of Israel, the Jewish tree of Israel. They are grafted in because of Abraham. He is the father of our faith, and he is the father of multitude. If you continue on with that Torah portion, you'll see that there was a Lot was going to be destroyed at Sodom and Gomorrah, and God spared his daughters, himself, and his wife, but his wife decided to look back. But what was about Sodom and Gomorrah that God wanted to destroy? I think Billy Graham's daughter said that if God doesn't punish the United States, he will have to apologize to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were very prideful. They lived in that's the reason Lot went to the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a very plush place to live. It was very fertile. It was a very wealthy place. And so he went there. They had a lot of pride. They were very prideful. They had an excess of food and things to eat and things to have. They were very wealthy. They were a group of people that had no respect or any type of consideration for those that were poor and needy. As a matter of fact, as I went back and read a little bit historical about this place, if you were poor or had a need, you really wasn't welcomed in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that area. There was more than one city. But you see, Lot's wife reflects a lot about the way we are. She looked back because she had a desire for the former things that were there, the pride, the wealth. She had a desire to, and that's why she was looking back. It's a picture of us because, you know, today we have to die to the old and to be born again into the new. That you become a new person. So that was what she missed. And a lot of people today will look back. They look back. And I learned when I used to run track, and one of the things the coach told us was not to look down and not to look back, because when you look back, you can stumble and lose your gait, and you can fall. And a lot of people, if you look back today at the former things, that's a pull to draw you back to the things of the former life. So don't be tricked by the enemy to look back, but look ahead, because that's where your redemption is. It's not behind you. It's in front of you. And so if you look at Yeshua today, you'll see that, you know, Abraham was looking for a city whose foundation and builder was the Heavenly Father. And if you look at the crucifixion of Yeshua, just to close this morning, that was actually an altar that he was sacrificed upon. And when you look at the altar, you'll see the justice, love, mercy, and grace of God all came at that one moment in time. And all of those were fully met. Shabbat Shalom.
All rise for the closing of the Torah. Mitzvot HaTorah Asher Shamoshe Lifnei Bnei Israel Al-Pi Adonai B'Yad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands. Amen.
Et
chayim ki mozikim ba v'tomcheha me'ushar terakeha k'noam v'chol zivotecha shalom ashiveinu Adonai Shuva Chadesh Chadesh Yameinu Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Please be seated. Can I turn on my headset? Thank you. Test 1, 2. All right. Well, we are grieved at the news of a shooting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I doubt she was there, but my niece lives in Pittsburgh with her family. She's 42 years old, and I'll have to check with her and check on her. Was it a conservative synagogue? Yes. Conservative. Okay, that conservative is a denomination of Judaism. It's actually the denomination that I grew up in. And we are grieved to hear of the. Does anybody have the purple siddur? We'll say Kaddish for the. It's traditional to say Kaddish for the deceased, and so we'll stand in solitude in respect. But I'm looking for the Kaddish. What? I can't hear you. Oh, okay. We'll say it in Hebrew. I was going to say it in Hebrew, but Yit Kadal V'Yit Kadash Shemei Rabbah. Oh, praise His holy name forevermore. Next.
When his kingdom comes with righteousness and peace, creation will experience release. Then the curse will be removed, and as all nature is renewed, the nations will be gathered in, his people will be freed from sin. O magnify and sanctify his name. May lasting peace from heaven be revealed for us and all the house of Israel, when the pierced one returns and the house of David mourns, to recognize the Son of Man who came and now has come again. O magnify and sanctify his name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we'll continue to pray for Congregation Tree of Life in Pittsburgh. And there were 8 confirmed dead, and Rabbi Jeffrey Myers. Okay. So let's go on with our announcements. Okay. How many of you did not get a bulletin when you came in? We have them. I have several up here if somebody wants to pass them out. But thank you, Deborah. Here you go. Thank you. Yeah. So anyhow, all right, so I'm going to give you announcements. So we have our Hanukkah celebration coming up Friday, December 7th at 7 p.m., I talked about in our newsletter. Actually, could somebody, one of the kids, Joshua, would you go downstairs, and there's newsletters right by my door, my office. Would you bring them up, colored ones, and bring them up, brand new newsletters for folks. In the newsletter, what I talked about this month is that if 16,000 people received notice of our Sukkot celebration, 16,000 people, but 16,000 people didn't come. Now, I'm sure many of them people celebrated Sukkot. Many of them, hundreds of them probably celebrated Sukkot somewhere else. But many of them, I found out and was actually told that some didn't come because we were Jewish. We were actually told that some didn't come to our celebration because it was a quote-unquote Jewish thing. But really what it was a one new man thing. It was Jew and Gentile. And in the message I teach and explain how we're going to be celebrating Jews, people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every race, every color, every creed, believers from every place on the earth. You can pass it out, Josh. If anybody would like a newsletter, raise your hand and Josh will pass them out. Just raise your hand, hold your hand up so he can see you, and he'll bring them to you. So there's folks on the other side there, Josh. Anyway, so I talk about how in heaven will be everybody's going to celebrate Sukkot, you know, and everybody, Sukkot is the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, and not only are they going to celebrate it in heaven, they're going to celebrate it in the millennium. Zechariah 14:16 tells us that the nation, the families left from all the families of the earth who have survived when the nations attack Israel, I believe after the United States is gone, when the nations of the earth attack Israel, then all, and they're destroyed by the Lord himself and his army, when that happens, after that, the remnant, the survivors of those nations will come to Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of Sukkot, which is the feast that Jesus celebrated in John chapter 7. It says on the last and greatest day of the feast, he cried out, "If any man thirst, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." That was the Feast of Sukkot. So, you know, and it says the family of the earth that doesn't come up during the millennial reign, you know, during that time when the Lord comes back, they'll have no rain. Every family that doesn't come up will have no rain. Amen? And so why people think this age is different than any other age, it's the biggest mistake. It's the biggest mistake in the Christian faith is to think that you're different in this age than you are in the millennial reign, in heaven, and before this age. It is the biggest mistake, I think. It's and the reason for it is called replacement theology.
where the Christians, and you didn't do it, your pastor didn't do it, but many pastors are teaching it, and it's like, why do we do what we do? Why do we eat turkey on Thanksgiving? Tradition. It's tradition. Why don't people eat ham on Thanksgiving? Because it's not tradition. When do they eat ham? Christmas, right? Easter. But they don't eat it on Thanksgiving, do they, for the most part? Amen? Amen. So why don't they eat ham on Thanksgiving? Because it's not traditional. So it's become traditional in the church not to do Jewish things. And the Jewish things, it's the root. It's the root. What happens when you kill the root and your tooth? It's called a root canal. Your tooth dies. When you kill the root, your tooth dies, and you have a dead tooth that hopefully feels no pain if it's not cracked, but it's not the most pleasant thing. Amen? Better to keep the root alive. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm preaching now. Okay, so let me get off my high horse. All right, so let's continue on. Miss Dawn left out this morning, and she's flying today. She's flying. She left out at 6 o'clock this morning, had me up at 5 o'clock, bless her heart, and I went back to sleep around 7. Oh, my. Anyway, she took off at 6, and she went, but the good news is she flew out of here instead of having to drive all the way 2.5 hours west of here to that city with the K that I won't mention, the city of Hard Knocks. So anyway, she didn't have to drive all the way there. She was able to get a seat on a plane right here in the Tri-Cities, and she flew, she jump-seated all the way to Washington. She's flying to Memphis today from somewhere. I'm not sure where she's flying out of. But anyway, so we just pray for safe travel for Dawn, and we'll pray for Aj, who lost her cat of 16 years. And I heard that the queen actually lost her last corgi. She had corgis since she was 18 years old, and her last one died. So we'll pray for you and the queen. Okay, praise the Lord. To God, you're more of a queen than she is, I think. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's pray for them. Well, we pray for Miss Dawn, Lord, as she flies today. We pray that you give your angels charge over her, and Lord, that you keep her safe as she travels this week. That all her flights, that you give your angels charge over her, that her flights are safe, her planes, that her flights are uneventful, Lord, as the weather gets worse out there. We just pray that her flights are uneventful. We thank you, Lord, for our Rebbetzin. And Lord, I also want to pray for my friend Nikki, who helps me with the kids and cleans our house and cooks meals to help us once a week. She comes over on Thursdays, and she had a terrible car accident, broke her neck, broke her back, has a rod in her back, broke her sternum. She's in rough shape at the hospital, and so we want to pray for our dear friend Nikki, our family's friend, and we're, you know, it's tough enough for me, I'll be honest with you, being, you know, without Dawn and being with the boys, it's tough enough for us without Mom around. It's Nikki was a big help. So pray for us that God sends somebody else to help us, and especially to help us clean. I can deal with the chili, with the meals, but we pray for Nikki's healing. And we just pray for a miracle in her life, Lord. She just needs a miracle, Lord. You know what's going on in her life. And pray for Aja, Lord. We just pray you comfort her at the loss of her pet, Lord. We just pray you comfort Miss Aja. We pray, Lord, that you would just encourage her heart and help her fill that void in her heart that kitty filled for her. In Yeshua's name, bless all our pets. Lord, I want to pray for Karen Gaby, who's taking care of her parents. And working, single lady,
working full-time, taking care of both parents. We pray for our dear sister Karen Gaby. We just lift her up to you, and we pray that you strengthen her as she cares. It's going through end of life with parents is a very difficult thing. I'm going through it with my mom. Brenda just went through it, and it's very, very trying and trouble, difficult, especially when they don't know the Lord. But we pray for Karen, who's the sole, I believe she's the sole caregiver for her parents. And we just pray you give her strength, bless her parents, and give them health. I pray that you give them good health to the day they pass. In the name of Yeshua, thank you, Lord. And anybody going through that, and we pray for all these prayer needs, Lord. For this, we just bless them, Lord. All these people on our on the prayer needs list, we just lay our hands. I pray for John and Anita. John's moving down to Lake Charles, Louisiana, and John and Anita Campbell. They've been still connected to our ministry. They've been supporting our ministry, and we just wish them success and blessing for John and Anita as they make the move down to Lake Charles, Louisiana. And I told them it smells like sulfur down there, and there's a lot of gators, so watch out. All right. And we just thank you, Lord, that these elections coming up, we pray that your people, that you want, your will be done in these elections. For our nation, we pray for our nation, Lord, that your will be done, that your candidates win, Lord, the ones you want to win, Lord, in every state and in every race, in every, whether it's county, city, statewide, or federal, that you would be Lord of all elections, and that your candidates would win. In Yeshua's name, Lord, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And so now we're going to take up our tithes and our offerings today. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. If you're watching online and you watch us regularly and you'd like to donate, or if you're watching for the first time and you'd like to give a gift, you can do it securely online through PayPal, or you can give a credit card online as well. There's two ways to do it on our website. If you give PayPal and you want a receipt, we only get your name and the amount you gave. So we need you to email us your address and information to receipt you. So please give us send us that information, because PayPal doesn't share it. They just tell us your name and what you gave. We don't even know where you live. So that's good that PayPal does that. They protect you. But we can't receipt you. So we are a 501c3 tax-exempt organization for Zion's Sake Ministries. And so you can make any checks or payable to For Zion's Sake, and you'll get a receipt at the end of the year. And anyway, so Brother Wendell, would you come up and pray for the offering today? Big Brother Wendell. Little Wendell. Little Wendell, would you come up and pray for the offering today? I like those shades, man.
Father Yeshua, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the jobs you have given us, Lord, to provide, that you have provided for us, Father. Father, we just ask, God, that this morning, Lord, we are obedient in our giving, Lord. God, help us, God, to be obedient, that it would rebuke the devourer, Lord. Father, I just ask, God, that you bless everyone in this building, Lord. If they don't have jobs, Lord, get them a job so they can contribute in the tithe giving, Lord. It's such a blessing to do it, Lord. And then there's alms and offerings, God. We just ask you this morning in Yeshua's name. Thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Wendell. Amen. And so we're going to bring our tithes and offerings at this time. Let me get my bass on. And I'm the rabbi that wears many hats. This is my original bass. I've had it for 22 years and 21 years. And it was so heavy when I got cancer that I couldn't play it. It's a very heavy bass. So I got that little fiddle bass. And now I can carry this thing. Four tests. Okay. All right. What's our offertory today? How great is our God? All right. Okay. All right. Let's bring our tithes and offerings. As Carol plays, How Great is Our God.
Wonder of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great.
You are to be in a messianic house of the Lord, to not only to know the Messiah, but to be in a, you know, I've been a pastor of a Sunday church, and I'm not knocking. I believe the church has a purpose, and I believe the church and the messianic community are to come together, and I believe that people are called either to the church or the messianic community, the messianic Jewish community. I believe that the two must come together in unity. That's the key to revival, and you'll see that periodically through my teaching, that the two must come together. And it's okay to not be Jewish and come to a messianic synagogue, because at the temple in Jerusalem, there was always a court of the Gentiles. Amen? So it's always, you know, people have challenged me. pastors, I hear these things. People come to me and they say terrible things about Messianic Jews that we get accused of being a cult. You know, if a Christian wants to come and they tell their pastor that they're going, and this is through the years, I've had, they're a cult, they're legalistic, they're Judaizers. They don't even know us. They know me. They've met me at pastor's meetings. And then they go and say these things. And these are some of them are considered friends, you know, and they say the cruelest things. And, you know, if some of my people are going to go to a church, I never bash the church. I never bash Christianity. I never say, oh, those Christians are a bunch of crusaders or they're a bunch of, you know, they killed the Jews. I don't say stuff like that. I never trash pastors, but it seems to happen a lot through the years. It happens to me, and I don't really, it doesn't really bother me that much. I learned something a long time ago. If you have this many friends in life at any one time, you're doing pretty well. If you've got five friends that you can name, and you know, five friends that watch your back, that you can count on, you're doing good. You're doing good. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, what's next, folks?
God of Abraham.
The God of Abraham. All right, we're going to have our worship here. So,
summon Abram to a land he did not know.
Dancers, you can all come if you want.
And your descendants, my favor I will show. I'll be your king, I'll be your shield, I'll be the one who walks beside you, and through you I will bless all the families of the God of Abraham is the living God. He is the saving God,
and I will praise him, for he has given me abundant righteousness, and he is faithful to his word.
The God of Abraham, he is the living God. He is the saving God, and I will praise him,
for he has
given me abundant righteousness, and he is faithful to his word.
Take now your
only son, your Isaac, one I've given thee. Go ascend to Mount Moriah and offer him to me.
And so
by faith he went forth, trusting in the great provider, the one who gave the lamb. We share the faith of the God of Abraham. He is the living God. He is the saving God.
And I will praise him, for he has
given me abundant righteousness, and he is faithful to his word. God of Abraham, he is the living God, he is the saving God,
and I will praise him,
for he has given me abundant righteousness, and he is faithful to his word. God of Abraham, he is the living God, he is the saving God, and I will praise him. He is faithful to his
Hallelujah. Cymbal, praise him with the dance, praise him with the shofar, praise him with your hands, praise him with the cymbal, praise him with the harp, praise him with the drum and flute, praise him with your heart. Hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Adonai, come and praise the Lord.
Praise him with the cymbal,
praise him with the dance, praise him with the shofar, praise him with your hands, praise him with the tremble, praise him with the harp, praise him with the drum and flute, praise him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah. Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, come and praise the Lord.
Praise him in the heavens,
praise him
in the moon and stars,
praise him for his glory and power, praise him with guitars, praise him in the battle, praise him in the storm, praise him for his victories won, praise him with this song. Hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah Adonai, come and praise the Lord.
Come and praise the Lord.
Praise him with the cymbal, praise him with the dance, praise him with the shofar, praise him with your hands, praise him with the timbrel, praise him with the harp, praise him with the drum and flute, praise him with your heart. Hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah Adonai, hallelujah Adonai, come and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You got to praise him. I said you got to praise him. I said, you got to praise him. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. With the timbrel. Come, let us go up to Zion.
Come, let us go up to Zion.
Zion, let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord.
Come, let us go up to Zion.
Zion, let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion.
Zion,
let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. You have not come to a desert mountain, but you have come to the living God. You have come to the heavenly city, New Jerusalem. And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone. Let us go. Zion,
let us draw near to the
Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord.
Come, let us go up to Zion.
Zion, let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion, Zion, let us draw near to the presence of the Lord.
Come
to the Judge of the ages, to Yeshua the living Word. Have come to the heavenly city,
you the righteous one.
And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone. Let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. Zion, let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord.
Tents of the righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. Joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. Lord's right hand reigns on high.
Sing for joy in the Lord,
ye righteous one.
Sing for joy in the Lord,
ye righteous one. Let your heart rejoice in him.
Thank you.
sing. Anachnu matzmini bokha lavo. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill us now. For you are welcome in this place. Your mercy and your grace, come and fill us, Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Abba, oh, Abba, with Holy.
Lord's table. We can do Yeshua. Okay. Test 1, 2. All right. We're going to go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. And I want to invite folks at home watching, if you have matzah or crackers or bread that you'd like to use, you'd like to join us at the Lord's table, communion. If you have some fruit of the vine, some Welch's, some Manischewitz, whatever fruit of the vine of your choice, you want to join us, I encourage you to go and get that. And we're going to step down and we're going to go to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to say Thanksgiving is coming, and, you know, this is not Passover.
okay? I'm booming a little bit here. This is not Passover. This is when we have Thanksgiving, the holiday, every year, right? Once a year we have Thanksgiving. But we give thanks every day, right? Theoretically.
Hallelujah.
We give thanks every day to the Lord. But there's one day a year called Thanksgiving. Amen? There's one holiday a year called Passover. Amen? There's one holiday. It falls on the 14th of Nisan every year, the 14th of Nisan, or in Tennessee they say that's a Nisan. It's a Nisan. Like that truck over there, that's a Nisan. But it's the 14th of Nisan on your biblical calendar there, which we have calendars, which, you know, we have new calendars from Israel with beautiful pictures of Israel. And they have the biblical calendar and they have the modern Gregorian calendar side by side, so you can follow your biblical holidays and dates, like when Noah's Ark landed or when the angel Gabriel visited Mary. You know, you can follow all that along with the you know, May, June, July, August, September. It's a 19-month calendar, but apart from that, so we have Passover once a year, but yet we come to the Lord's table and we talk about what the Lord did on Passover, and we do it every week. Why do I do it every week, you might ask? Because they don't do it in every church every week, do they? You know why I do it every week? Because in the temple, they always had a sacrifice. Every week. Every time they had worship, they had a sacrifice. And so we remember our Lord's sacrifice every time, virtually every time we come to the house of the Lord. And God put that upon my heart many, many years ago. And that's why we do it every week. And I want to tell you something else. They call this koinonia. Koinonia. Is an intimacy, like a husband and a wife, okay? Well, you know, some churches, pastors say to me they have koinonia, they have communion once a year. Well, and you think of it in terms of intimacy with your wife, do you do that once a year? You do it once a month, once every 6 months? Or, you know, you can have koinonia once a week. So you're having, it's... I don't mean this as a trite thing. What I mean is this: the Lord wants us to have intimacy, and this is what He gave us. This is the most intimate moment of the service.
Amen.
You know, we lead, the whole service leads up to that moment when you could drop a pin. Amen. Mm-hmm. It leads up to that one moment when you could hear a pin drop. It's so quiet, and you know it's time for intimacy with the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Deborah, would you like to come and serve today? Amen. And let's see, who else? Diane, would you like to come? Actually, why don't we have Diane, why don't you and Chan come? Chan, why don't you come up with your mom? And you can help your mom. And Deborah, you come too. If Chan wants to do it, you want to learn how to do it? You don't have to. Okay, you want to come and do it? Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Deborah, you can back them up. Okay. All right. All right. So we're going to do the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. Amen. On the night Yeshua was betrayed, that was a Passover night, he took the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said of that third cup, we call the cup of redemption, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. The new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. He also took the bread, the afikomen, as they say in Greek. In Jewish we say afikomen. The afikomen, which means that which comes later. It's actually a Greek word, not a Hebrew word. And it means it's hidden. The bread, the middle layer of three pieces of matzah is hidden. And we don't eat it. It comes back later after the meal. A child brings it back to the host. And then we break it up in small pieces and we give it out. And so that's why I call it the afikomen. That which comes later. Amen. So Yeshua said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, we don't believe that this is the body of Yeshua. We don't re-crucify him every week, okay? That's the whole point of why it's not the body. He was crucified once. So this represents his body to us. That's what we believe here. And as well as the cup isn't his actual blood, because if it was, we'd be re-crucifying him every week. And we don't. He only did it once. He didn't need to do it every time. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just one time. Once is all it took. Amen. So I'm just gonna ask you. Let's bow our heads for a minute. If there's anybody watching that doesn't know Yeshua. According to the Bible, he is the Son of God. He died for our sins. He was buried 3 nights and 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb. And he rose from the dead on the morrow after the Sabbath, on the third day. He rose from the dead, conquering the power of sin and death. And for all who would believe in his resurrection, giving them eternal life and the promise and hope of never dying, just passing from this life into the next, and never tasting death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? Hallelujah. He has conquered the victory of death, which you were born into. Each one of us was born into death. And when we were born again, that death was taken away from us. Hallelujah. So if you would like to meet the Messiah and you don't know the Messiah today, if you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand and with all eyes closed and heads bowed. If you don't know the Messiah and you'd like to meet Yeshua, and even at home, you just raise your hand right there in your living room or wherever you're sitting and just say, Rabbi Joe, even wherever you are in the country watching us or around the world, just raise your hand. Rabbi Joe, I want to meet the Messiah today. Okay, and just pray with me. Pray this prayer with me now. Dear God, I have messed up. I've blown it. I've not kept all your commandments. I have not kept kosher. Some of us have eaten in restaurants that serve treif, not kosher food. Okay, and we've broken your laws. Lord, we have not kept all your commandments. We've not. Some of us have hated. Some of us have had bitterness in our hearts. We've lied. Some of us have stolen. Some of us have dishonored our parents. Some of us have not put God first. We've not loved you with all of our heart. We've broken your commandments, and we confess right now that we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. So, Lord, Yeshua, come into my heart. Wash me of my sin. Wash me of my uncleanness. Cleanse me with your blood. And forgive me through your sacrifice and your resurrection. And give me eternal life. Put my name in your book of life forever. I pray right here, right now. In Yeshua's name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, please contact me. Send me an email or a private message on Facebook. You can go to our For Zion's Sake Ministries Facebook page in Tennessee. We're the one in Tennessee and Virginia, Southern Virginia. You'll see my handsome face on there. So if you think I'm good looking, you should see my picture. But that's my grandfather always said that. But anyway... I have a free gift for you. So if you pray to receive the Lord today and meet Yeshua, let me know. I'm going to turn it over to the ladies, and they're going to serve you. Come as you're ready. Amen. Testament. Every day I long for more of you. Every night I'm thinking of you. No one can love me the way you do. Here I am to stand in your presence. Every day I long for of you. Every night I'm thinking of you. No one can love me the way you do. Here I am to stand in your presence. Yeshua, Yeshua. Faithful and true, every day I long for more of you. Every night I'm thinking of you. No one can love me the way you do. Here I am to stand in your presence. Yes, you. Test 2, 3. All right. Thank you, Jan. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Okay. Are we going to, what do you have next? Blessing of the children? Or do you want me to do it from the pulpit? Huh? Okay. All right. I'd like to call the children up and we're going to bless them. And then adults that want to gather around them and surround them, come, don't be shy. Come and gather around the kids and we'll pray for them. Otherwise, you can just stretch your hand out.
May the Lord protect and defend you. May the Lord always shield you from shame. May you come to be in Israel a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like David. May you be deserving of praise. Strengthen us, O Lord, and keep us in Messiah's ways. May God bless you and grant you long life. Husbands and wives
for you.
May the Lord protect and defend you. May the Lord preserve you from pain. Favor us, O Lord, happiness and peace. Oh, hear our Sabbath prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Children, we bless you today with all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Sarah, Rachel, Leah, Rebecca, and Miriam, and Yosef, and the blessings of the apostles. We bless you in the name of Yeshua. We bless you as you come in and bless you as you go out. May your basket overflow. May the work of your hands be blessed. May you stay on the straight and narrow path. And when you hear the voice of the Lord, may he open your ears like he opened Samuel to hear his voice. And as you hear him say, "This is the way, walk ye in it. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but walk on the path of righteousness." May you walk in paths of righteousness all your days. And may the Lord prepare your helpmate in the future. May he prepare that helpmate for you. May he prepare you for your helpmate, and may he prepare you for whatever your career and your destiny is. May he prepare you now and give you dreams in your heart, imaginations and desires to do things for him that he puts in your heart, godly desires and imaginations for your future. May your dreams come true. May all your dreams come true. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay. All right. So as I was saying before, I did the newsletter that we did was talking about the feasts, about the Feast of Sukkot, and I talked about how 16,000 people were notified about the feast, but we didn't have 16,000 people at the feast, and we only had 15. No, just kidding. And some people didn't come. And when I found out some people didn't come because we were Jewish, Jews, and there were Jews there because it was a Jewish thing. Some people didn't come because it was Jewish. Now I'm booming a little bit. Just turn me down just a hair. Just a hair. Like a rabbit. Just a hair. And so some people didn't come, I was told, because it was a Jewish thing. And, you know, and I said before that, you know, whether non-Jews are going to be celebrating this feast, it's in the newsletter. If you want to get my newsletter, you can sign up on the website. It should be posted this week. You can actually read it on our website. It'll be posted by the end of this week. But anyway, the neat thing is that how many of you know that if you miss Sukkot, you get a second chance? Did you know that God is a God of second chances? God is a God of second chances. Amen. Sometimes third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th, many chances. And sometimes not. Sometimes you get one chance. You never know. Amen. You don't know. But I'll say this, when it comes to Sukkot, the Jews in 165, they had been invaded by the Syrians, the Greco-Syrians, under Antiochus Epiphanes. They had been invaded, and so they couldn't celebrate Sukkot. But 3 months later, when the Jews took back their temple and defeated the Syrians, and they took back the temple, they had an eight-day holiday that John 10:22 calls the Feast of Dedication, which translates Hanukkah. And they were actually celebrating Sukkot. And you notice, if you read the newsletter, you'll see when they dedicate the temple, Solomon's temple, it's on Sukkot. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 6, and 7. 2 Chronicles 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. They're dedicating the temple. It's dedicated in chapter 7 on Sukkot. And Nehemiah, when they build the wall and they celebrate it and they read the book of the law, they celebrate Sukkot. And they build the wall of the city and they celebrate Sukkot. And when they dedicate the temple in the Hanukkah story in 165 BC, what they're actually celebrating for 8 days, they dedicate the temple again, they rededicate it, is they're following the dedication of Solomon's temple in 2 Chronicles 6 and 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 6, and 7. They're following the pattern, and they're just celebrating the feast 3 months later. Did you know King Hezekiah celebrated Passover a month late? It was called the Second Passover. It's known if you read about Hezekiah's Passover. It was one of the greatest Passovers ever celebrated, the Bible says. And since the time of Joshua, son of Nun, it tells us. The greatest celebration of Passover since the time of Joshua. And it was a month late because the priests, the Levites, hadn't consecrated themselves. They weren't ready. And so they celebrated it a month later, and we call it Hezekiah's Passover or the Second Passover. But God had grace, even in the Old Testament. Now, so he let them celebrate Passover a month late. So if you missed Sukkot and you didn't come to our Sukkot celebration, we invite you to Hanukkah. On December 7th at 7 p.m. here in this synagogue, we invite you to come learn about Hanukkah and celebrate. And we'll have refreshments downstairs. And please continue to pray for us to rebuild the inside of our fellowship hall. We had floods this summer. We fixed the outside. We've spent thousands on drainage. But we really need to repair the walls, and we need to repair, just like Nehemiah, we need to repair the wall, and we need to put flooring in. So please pray about that. Pray that God moves for us to fix our fellowship hall so we can have it back. And if you're able to donate and support the building fund, if you have the means to do so, even if you have $50, please continually contribute to the building fund so to help us do that. Amen. All right. So today's message, I want to welcome our friends on Facebook. Shalom, everybody. Welcome. We're glad you're with us, folks on Facebook. And I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. Today's message is entitled, Abraham, the Father of Faith. Abraham, the Father of Faith. So God's given me a word for you about Abraham. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your anointing today. Thank you for your message, your word. I thank you, Lord, for power, for the kavod, the glory of the Lord, that you would speak through me, your servant, empty me of Joe, and just forgive my sins, my transgressions, and cleanse me, make me a holy, I am a holy vessel for the Lord, and by your grace I stand. It's not because of anything to do with me, it's because of you. It's all about you, Lord. It has nothing to do with me or my righteousness. It's all yours. So now bring forth your word and bind the enemy in the name of Yeshua. All right. So last week, today, as I said, the name is Abraham, the father of faith. Last week we saw we talked about the single-mindedness of Abram. Last week he was Abram. This week he's Abraham. His name got changed from righteous father to father of a multitude. From righteous father to father of a multitude. And of course, we'll get on, we'll talk about that, but Abraham is, the Bible tells us he is the father of faith. Abraham is the father of faith, in the Bible tells us, and we're going to get to that. So last week we saw the single-mindedness of Abram. When Abraham came out of Babylon, when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees, when he left Haran, where he was living with his father, Terah, and he was living with his brother Nahor and his wife Sarai and his family, and his nephew Lot was there and other members of his family, I'm sure. And God said, Abraham, get up, leave, gather your belongings, leave your family, take your wife, take your servants, take your household, but leave your relatives. And he made one mistake, big mistake. He took Lot with him. And that caused him a lot of trouble. But he took Lot with him. And because he took Lot with him, Anthony was talking about Lot earlier, when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed in the judgment. We're going to touch on that today. But when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed in the judgment Lot fled Sodom with his family, with his wife and his two daughters, and the two daughters were engaged. They had fiancés, but their fiancés wouldn't listen. They wouldn't come. They laughed at Lot when he said, get out, leave with us. They laughed at him. They mocked him. And they didn't come, and they perished in the destruction of Sodom. But when they got up in the hills and they were dwelling in a cave because they were afraid of the people of Zohar, of the city of Zohar, they were afraid of the people, inhabitants. Lot and his two daughters went up to live in the mountain, the hills, in a cave. And so his daughters they said, well, we have no husband. And according, you know, to the law of the kinsman redeemer, they have no one to redeem them. They had no kinsman to marry them because it was just them and their father. They got their father drunk and they laid with their father, with Lot. And one of them produced a son named Moab and the other produced a son named Ammon. And Ammon is the father of Ammon of Jordan. And Moab is the father of Saudi Arabia, of what we would know as Saudi Arabia today and southern Jordan. And, of course, those have been great enemies of the Jewish people. And we'll actually hope, if we have time, we'll be reading what God has to say in the future about Moab and Ammon in the future. We're going to read that. But let's go on here. So, but then single-mindedness of Abram, when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, he didn't flinch. Everybody say he didn't flinch. God's word says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. No bones about it. When Yeshua showed up on the shore, and he said to Peter, follow me. Peter dropped the net and just followed him. No questions asked. He was, you know, Peter had a heart after God. He didn't know God. He was unlearned, but he just knew that this guy was, something about this guy who was telling him to follow him, I better go. Something tugged his heart. Amen? Amen. He had an unction. Everybody say an unction. Whereas in contrast, James 1:8 says, a man who is double-minded is unstable in all his ways. Such a person I must be thinking about cats lately, Persians. We just got a new cat, but it's not a Persian. Anyway, I didn't get a rug either. I don't know why I'm thinking that. But anyways, such a person should not expect to receive anything from God. Someone who's double-minded should not expect to receive anything. It tells us in James 1:8. She shouldn't expect to receive anything good from God. But person who is single-minded, amen, a person who is single-minded, you know, like Abram, when God said to leave, think about what he did. Okay, there were no flying J's. There were no, truck stops or gas stations, you know, roadrunners or pilots or sheets, McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, Subway, you name it, Cracker Barrel at the exit. When he got on the road, there were taverns, there were towns along the way, along the river. As he followed the river, it's kind of like when Abraham's journey was like he started over here and then he went up along the river. And then he went down into Syria along the river because it was desert, so he had needed the river for water. And along the, there were towns along the river that he traveled, and then he would stop in those towns, and there would be taverns, kind of like Rahab. She ran an inn. Okay, that was for travelers, and they had inns, and it's kind of like you think about the Old West. You know, you think about a saloon. You could get a meal in a saloon. You could get a drink in a saloon. You could get things that we don't want to talk about. Well, things that Rahab did in a saloon. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. The oldest profession in the world. Okay, so Abraham was single-minded, and he gave up everything, guys. He left his house. He left his business. He left his job. He left his family, his relatives. He took one nephew with him. He left everybody. He left his dad. He left his mom. He left his sisters. He left his nieces. He left his nephews. His maybe, you know, he didn't leave his grandchildren because he didn't have any children. But, you know, he left his whole family. He left his livelihood to go to a land called Canaan where, you know, he really didn't know. He didn't even know what he was going to. He didn't know. God didn't say, I'm going to make you an electrician in Canaan. You're going to start a business in a town called Bethel, you know, and you're going to build, widgets in Bethel. You know, he didn't say that to him. Amen? He just went. Okay. So, you know, when God, but, God spoke to Abraham. We don't know. How did God speak to him? Did he actually show up physically and talk to him? Did God speak to him in a dream? Did God speak to him through some kind of word that was given? Did somebody come up to Abraham and said, Abraham, God told me to tell you, pack up the truck, loaded up the truck and move to Beverly, you know? Did somebody say that to him? Yeah, we don't know. It's not in the Bible. Amen? Yeah, I think God spoke to him because he's a patriarch, and patriarchs get special, a little bit special treatment. God speaks to us all, but last week I also spoke of the blessing of Mark 10:29. Let's turn there for a second. Mark 10:29. I think you're right, Wendell. It says, now, interestingly here, we see someone who God called at the very beginning of verse 17, as Yeshua was setting out on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him, and asked, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Yeshua said to him, no one is good except one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Hallelujah. Do not give false testimony. Do not cheat. Honor your father and mother. The man responded, teacher, all these I have kept since my youth. Looking at him, Yeshua loved him. It says Yeshua loved him. Isn't that cool? Yeshua loved him and said, one thing you lack. Go and sell as much as you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But at this statement, the man became sad and went away grieving, for he had much property. He was a rich man, and he went away grieving because he had much property, and he wasn't willing to give it up. Abraham left it all. He was willing to give up his son. He was willing to put the knife down in him because God said so. You see the difference? You know, so many people are not willing to give up when God calls them to serve him and to leave whatever it is, wherever they are. I had to leave my synagogue. You may have to leave your church. You may have to leave your synagogue. You may have to leave your job, your house. Let's read 10:29. It says, Amen, I tell you, Yeshua replied, there is no one. Everybody say no one. How many people is that? That's everybody. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or property for my sake and for the sake of the good news, the gospel, who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and property along with persecutions and in the Olam Haba, the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. So God promises you, if you are single-minded and God calls you to serve him in ministry and to leave everything, to leave your house. I left my house, but I didn't just walk away. I rented it out. I left it when God called me to serve, but I didn't walk away. I just abandoned my house. I rented it. I wasn't stupid. You know, if God had told me to sell it, I would have sold it. He told me to rent it, so I rented it. Then I sold it years later. But he was calling me quickly, and I had no choice. The quickest thing I could do was rent it. And I left my job. I quit my job as a sales manager for American Greetings. I left my job as a sales manager for an American Greetings Corporation. And they had a division over there in Boston, and I worked for, and I was the assistant branch sales manager. And anyway, I left my job, quit my job, loaded up the truck, and moved to Tennessee. Amen? And I went, and that's kind of how it went. I did a few things before that, but I left everything. I left my income, my home, my car. I sold my car to my fiance for a buck. I had a Ford Bronco II in 2000. It was 1988. I gave it to her for a buck in 1996. She was moving to Minnesota to become a pilot for Northwest Airlines at the time, and she was in Minneapolis, which is a rough winter. She needed four-wheel drive. I didn't need my truck. I was moving to New York City to serve the Lord. I was moving to New York City to answer the call of God on my life. Now, when God called me to go, it came in the form of an invitation. The leader of Jews for Jesus, I had met him in New York City. The head of Jews for Jesus, I met him in New York City, and I spent a week of one of my vacation evangelizing, doing street evangelism, going out in the streets of New York City, going into Grand Central Station, Times Square, under the World Trade Center, into Brooklyn, all over New York, you know, New York City, passing out gospel tracts. 7 o'clock in the morning, people would spit on me. They would call me names. They wouldn't slug me because I'm a big guy, and I was wearing a Jews for Jesus shirt, or Jesus made me kosher, which he did. But nobody ever slugged me because I was bigger than most people. But they did slug the little people. Their bullies but they called me names and they spit on me. They tried to knock the tracts out of my hand. And I was young, strong, big guy. And, you know, and nobody messed with me. But also I was the freak, you know. I remember this lady that used to stand in front of the State House in Boston. And she used to have this, she used to smile. Her name was Sandy. I can't remember her last name, Sandy. And Sandy Coolidge. I can't think of her. Anyway, she had a cross on the sign, and one side was heaven and one side was hell, and the cross was a bridge over a chasm, and people were walking over the bridge from hell into heaven. Okay? They were walking from hell into heaven. The other side of the sign was a fetus, and it was about, you know, choose life. And she used to stand in front of the state house and just smile and just hold her sign, choose life, and show the little fetus. And she gave out her literature. And I thought, I used to see her when I wasn't a believer. I used to see her standing there year after year after year. I'd drive into Boston with my parents to go out to dinner. We used to go to these fancy hotels because my uncle had an account with fancy hotels, and we got free dinners in some big fancy hotels in Boston. So I always drive by the State House in downtown Boston. There Sandy would be with her sign, smiling away, standing there in front of the State House, and telling people to repent, telling people to stop having abortions. I thought she was a Fruit Loop. Well, one day after I found Yeshua, this Jews for Jesus guy came to my house, and I invited him, I met him through circumstances, and I became his Barnabas. He would come to Boston, I'd pick him up at the train station or the bus station, and I'd carry his bags, he'd sleep on my couch, we'd go out and pass out tracts, he'd run a fellowship one night, and all these Christians and Jews would come together, and we'd worship and have food together, and he would do that once a month, and I was like his Timothy or his Barnabas, I helped him out. And one day we went out to the Boston Common and we met all these people. It was the 4th of July. And we met all these people 20 people that were going to go pass out tracts to 2 or 3 million people by the Charles River, where the Boston Pops would play the 1812 Overture, you know, and the fireworks would go off on the 4th of July. Millions of people came out. And so we went to go pass out tracts to these millions of people. 2 million people would come. And all of a sudden, this lady was there. I said, "You're the lady that holds the sign in front of the State House. I used to think you were a Fruit Loop." And then I realized I had become her. I had become her. And when I moved to New York City walking around the city, when you're walking around the city and you're 6'3", 210 pounds with a Jews for Jesus t-shirt, nobody's going to come near you. You might as well be a Hare Krishna, whatever. People are going to stay as far away from you as they can, except for these big black ladies who would come up and hug me and say, "God bless you, honey." And I'm telling you, when you're getting spit on by Jews and you're getting cussed at by Jews and called names that I won't say in Yiddish, I won't say what they are because some people might know what they mean, but they weren't nice things that they were saying to me. And one Jewish girl cussed me out with the F word, and I said, I said to her, I said, "Young lady, did your rabbi teach you to talk like that?" And she stopped, like, and I said, "You need to have your mouth washed out with soap." I had some good lines for people as I got used to doing it, you know what I'm saying? But I get cussed at, and people would spit at me, and I loved it. There I am, I'm a seed sower. I'm a man with a bag with 2,000, 3,000 gospel tracts, just full of seed, full of the Word of God, and I'm just passing them out. People are thousands on the elevators and in the hallways of New York City passing out these gospel tracts. And then we'd go to the parks and talk to people on benches, and we'd ask them who they think Yeshua, who they think Jesus is. And we would lead them, many of them, to the Lord in less than 2 minutes. And it would just simply go like this: "Can I ask you a question? Who do you think Jesus is?" And some would say, "Well, he was a prophet." I'd say, "That's right, he was a prophet. But the Bible says he was the Son of God, that he came to die for your sins, and incredibly, he rose from the dead on the third day. Do you believe that?" And they'd say, "Well, so maybe, I'm just giving you a hypothetical." They'd say, "Well, I'm not sure." "Well, have you ever asked him into your heart to be your Savior?" And they'd say, "No." "Is there any reason you shouldn't ask him right now?" Sometimes they'd say, "No. Let's pray. Dear God," just like we did before, "I've messed up. my life. I've made mistakes, and I need a Savior. Thank you for sending Yeshua to forgive my sins. Wash me, Lord. Cleanse me. Put my name in your book of life forever. Come into my heart. Dwell in me. Save me. In Yeshua's name. And sometimes I'd walk away from those people and they'd be like, what just happened? They'd be crying. They'd be like, they didn't know what happened to them. And I took their names and information and I'd pass it to a local church to follow up with them, give them some literature. And they'd get saved right there on the spot in the middle of New York City, London, Liverpool, Sydney, Australia, Johannesburg, Durban, Perth, Australia, Melbourne, Newcastle, Brighton, Carlisle, England, 47 states in Canada, Yankees games, outside World Series, San Francisco 49ers games, Michigan, Ohio games, standing outside, gone down to Tampa, been outside two inaugurations, passing out tracts, leading people to Yeshua, to the Lord. That's called living the book of Acts. That's called living the book of Acts. God called me to give up everything, guys. I gave it up. Amen? I gave it up. I gave up everything so that I could come and you could see my handsome face. Week after week. Okay, let's go on. I'm strong. Maybe not physically, but I'm a strong rabbi. So Abraham is the ultimate patriarch. So if God's calling you, so I got it. My calling came because the head of Jews for Jesus invited me. And I had to pray about it. I went and sought counsel. And Dawn, who was my fiance, said, I think you should do it. That was the big one. But a couple of wiser older brothers said, that's great. This is a great opportunity for you. Do it. And so I went. And I my rabbi didn't support it, but he was not evangelical. He was liberal. And my messianic rabbi was liberal, and he didn't like Jews for Jesus because they were evangelical, very evangelical. And so he didn't want me to do it, but he also wouldn't let me be a member of his congregation. He wouldn't let me join he wouldn't let me become a member. He didn't when he had membership class. So technically I really went there, but I was never a member, even though I tried to be. I tithed there for 2 years, even after I left. And I traveled the world. I sent my tithe back there. He wouldn't let me become a member. But that's how dedicated I was to that congregation. For 2 years, I traveled around the world, and I sent my tithe back every month. But you know what? People get angry with me. I've seen them through the years. I'm talking about 20 years of ministry. I'm not naming any names. People get angry with me, and they'll quit and walk out the door, and it's not God. That's never God. It's never God to get ticked off, walk out the door, quit when God's called you, or when you're a member somewhere, when you've made a covenant. You know, if the calling is genuine, right? If the calling is genuine, families are going to have their differences, right? Yeah. People and families, they're going to have their differences, they're going to have disagreements. But I did an article years ago called I Was Angry, I Was Offended, and I Stayed. I was angry, I was offended, and I stayed. So many people quit, and they walk out the door, and they never send a tithe again, and they lose their blessing. And you know, it's like walking around Mount Sinai. They just keep going around Mount Sinai, because you know what? If they didn't learn their lesson here or whatever church or synagogue they were in, They didn't learn their lesson the first time because they left in a bad way around the mountain, and it's going to be harder the next time, and harder and harder and harder and harder. Never leave in a bad way. Always leave with blessing, with prayer. Have a calling. Only leave because you have a calling. And the calling has been confirmed through prayer and with the laying of hands, with prayer and fasting. And you've gone to your spiritual leaders and you've told them that you feel you're being called, and they're praying with you through a period of weeks, maybe even months. And you want their blessing. And I tell people, before you leave your church and become a member here, or before you leave, you know, go to your shepherd and pray with him, and tell him that I feel God's calling me to this Messianic Jewish ministry, you know, Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation for Zion's Sake Ministries. I believe God's calling me there. I want your blessing. I want you to lay hands and send me out. Maria, did you have a good trip to Haiti? Yeah. Did we lay hands and anoint you and send you out and bless you? Yeah. Was it the best trip to Haiti you ever had?
Yeah.
Amen. We're going to let you talk about that one day soon. Let's welcome back Maria from her mission trip to Haiti. Amen. One of these days when she's ready, we're going to give her an opportunity to share about her trip and show some pictures and video and stuff, okay? I know she had a great trip. And she, from what I heard, it was the best trip she's ever had to Haiti. Amen? All right, so let's go on. So, be single-minded. Abraham is the father of faith. We're told that in Romans 4:16. He is the ultimate patriarch, the father of the Jews, the Arabs, and the Christians. He had a direct relationship with God Almighty. He didn't need to go to his rabbi because there wasn't any. It was him and God. So we're not like that. We have authorities, you know. And when people tell me, beware of people who say, my God is my authority. If you go somewhere to a church or a Messianic synagogue, I would always ask the leader, who's your covering? Who's your covering? Who sent you out? Where were you ordained? Because in Acts 13, turn to Acts chapter 13:3. Acts 13:3, verse 2, while they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Well, let's just start from verse 1. Now in the Antioch community there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius, and Cyrenian, Manaen, brought up since childhood with Herod the Tetrarch, and Shaul, Saul, or Paul. While they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and prayer and laying hands on them, they sent them off. So sent out by the Ruach HaKodesh, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And it goes on. Now, there's several other places where people were sent out to do the work, like Timothy. I believe he was sent out with laying of hands and with prayer. Amen? Timothy was sent out with a laying of hands. That's how it's done. That's the New Testament way to be sent out. Amen? Okay, yeah, God may speak to you in a dream, but you go to your... These prophets, it says prophets and teachers, rabbis. Go to your prophets and your rabbis and talk to them first. Confirm the calling that you believe you've received. Then with prayer and laying of hands, don't demand it. You don't demand it. You either you bless me and pray for me. I've heard this one too. Either you lay hands and bless me and send me out, or I'm out of here. See ya. Don't trip on your way out the door. It's sad to see that. So that's the biblical way to do it. That God may call us, but that we need to be people under authority, like the Roman centurion in Luke 7. The new covenant pattern, the Roman centurion, Yeshua said he was the man in the Bible, maybe in his generation. He probably didn't have more faith than Abraham, but he had the most faith in all Israel. Was a Roman centurion, Luke chapter 7. He built the synagogue for the Jews. It says because he loved the Jews. Not because he loved God, not because he loved Yeshua, though he did. But he built the synagogue, which is still the most beautiful building in Capernaum, because he loved the Jews. And still the most beautiful building in Capernaum. It's amazing what's left of it after the Romans destroyed the city. Praise God. The Roman centurion. He was a man under authority. We need to get that under our skin. If people, anyone says to me, I answer to God and God alone. See you later. That's not biblical. Yeah, you answer to God, but you get confirmation through your leaders. And I'm not saying me necessarily. You may have other leaders in your life. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. You know, if I'm your rabbi, then come to me and Don. But you know, if you have other spiritual parents, go to them as well. Get prayer and so forth. Okay, enough about that. The new covenant pattern is to have one's calling affirmed by recognized authority to be sent out with prayer, fasting, and the laying of hands. Even the great apostle Paul, who often heard directly from God, submitted to the apostles' leadership. He went to see Peter in Acts 15. He went to the Jerusalem Council. Stepping out in faith requires risk and a willingness to give up everything. I'll say that again. Stepping out in faith requires risk and a willingness to give up everything for the sake of the gospel, something the rich young man was not willing to do. The catch is, how well do you know God? How deep is your relationship with God? When God showed up as three men in Genesis 18, let's all turn to Genesis 18. I love this. You see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's like right here. Three people called God. Three people called the Lord. And I believe it's the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, of the Father. And in Jewish we say Adonai because we don't pronounce that name, but I believe the translation is. And Genesis 18:1, then Adonai, the Lord, appeared to Abraham at Mamre, large trees, while he was sitting in the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes, suddenly three men were standing right by him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed down to the ground. Then he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your eyes, please do not pass your servant. Please let a little water be brought so you can wash your feet and make yourselves comfortable under the tree. Let me bring a bit of bread so that you can refresh yourselves. Then you can pass on since you have passed by your servant. They said, do just as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, knead three measures of fine flour, excuse me, and prepare bread loaves. Then to the herd, Abraham ran and took a young ox, tender and good. He gave it to the servant who prepared it quickly. Then he took butter and milk and the young ox who had prepared and set it before them while he was standing by them under the tree. And they ate. So he fed them, and he fed them curds, butter, cheese, and lamb, like a cheeseburger, except it was like a rack of lamb with yogurt and cheese and butter, you know, and milk. In Judaism, that wouldn't be kosher, but Abraham, you know, anyway, I won't go down that one. If you don't understand that one, you need email me and I'll give you the answer. Okay. All right. About kosher. All right. So anyway, So the Lord shows up as three men called the Lord. If you can't understand that God can come as a man, and that the three men represent the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then, you know, I can't help you. And so in Genesis 18, Abraham knew immediately, get this, he knew immediately who was paying him a visit. Do you always recognize God when he pays you a visit? When God walks by you on the street, when you're in the city, when you go to New York, or you go to Boston, or you go to Nashville, or you go to Knoxville, or you go down to Chattanooga, or wherever you go, Atlanta, wherever you go, and it says angels will attend us unannounced. You'll see angels will appear. You've all seen angels and you don't even know it sometimes. Maybe you did. You know, maybe you helped an angel. Maybe he appeared as a homeless person and you took care of that person, that angel. God was testing you to see what you'd do. I did it one time. There was a homeless man needed food. He was hungry. He was lying on the sidewalk in Boston. And I went and got him some food. And I went back to get something else into this little convenience store, and I came back out. He had disappeared, and there was nowhere he could have gone. There was highway in front. He couldn't cross the road. The sidewalk, I'd have seen him a mile down the road. There was nowhere to go. There was no other stores. It was in a strange part of the city where there was just that convenience store, and there was two roads, and the guy was gone. He was lying on the side of the road. I fed him, and he disappeared. Do you always recognize God when he pays you a visit? As we read on about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, we read in Genesis 19:14 how Lot pleaded with his two son-in-laws to leave with them. It says that they thought Lot, who was God's messenger, was joking. This showed disrespect for their soon-to-be father-in-law, for one, and for authority, disrespect for authority in general. When the people of Sodom came to sodomize the Lord, these strangers came into town, and Lot took them in and said, it's not safe for you to stay out there in the city. It was the Lord. The Lord went down to Sodom. Read Genesis 18. It says, I'm going to go down to Sodom and see what's going on down there. The Lord said. So two of the three men, called the Lord, went down to Sodom, and they were going to sleep in the square. And Lot said, come into my house, please. It's not safe for you out here. So they did, and he gave them hospitality. Amen? And so the people of the city came later on, and they knocked on the door, and they were going to knock the door down, and they're like, bring those men out so we can sodomize them. So we can do perverse things with them. Amen? And what happened? Lot said no. Those men took over. Those men, the Lord, he struck them with blindness. So they're all walking around. They can't see. And so they're not too interested in sodomy because they can't see. So today, now they have these pills you can take. They advertise if you take too many of them, you can get blind, or maybe that's what the Lord gave them. I don't know. But anyway, I'd hate to show up at an emergency room with that problem. But moving right along. God help us. Where are we coming? Why do they put this stuff on TV? When the people of Sodom came to sodomize the Lord, and it's in the Bible, whom Lot had invited into his home, the Lord struck the people with blindness. They, too, could not discern who it was they were messing with. They could not discern who it was they were messing with. Do you see that? They didn't know who it was that they were messing with God directly. How awful. And they paid with their lives. Judgment was swift and thorough for Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, this is a foreshadow, a precursor of the final judgment in this end of days. As somebody said to me, if America doesn't isn't judged, who said that to me? If America isn't judged for the sins that we've committed and all the sodomy and the abortions and all these things, if we're not judged, he should apologize for what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Billy Graham said that. Yeah. Well, let Billy Graham's wife tell God that, but I'm not going to tell God. If he wants to apologize, let him apologize. But anyway, I get the point, though. They couldn't discern God. By the way, this is a foreshadow, instead of precursor. Others who demonstrated great sensitivity to the Lord were Noah, Enoch, Isaac, Jacob, King David, the prophets, Samuel, the apostles who dropped their nets, the woman who anointed Yeshua's feet with spikenard with her hair, and she wept and she anointed his feet. The woman at the well who discerned that he was the Messiah. Many, many people discerned that Yeshua was God incarnate, but many didn't. When he went to Jerusalem, they killed him, and they tried to kill him many times. The rabbis, they were so hard-hearted. And many, many non-Jews, they were hard-hearted too. They just, people didn't recognize that Yeshua, who was 100% God and 100% man, they couldn't see the divinity in the Lord. And even on we celebrated Sukkot together, many of us celebrated Sukkot on the last and greatest day of feast, John 7:37, the last and greatest day of the feast of Sukkot. He cried out in his temple, "If any man thirst, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Not many came. They didn't get it. What were they thinking? They're in the house of God. They're supposed to be close to God, right? But they're so caught up in looking at, ooh, there's a pretty lady. Look at that nice robe she's wearing. Oh, look at that handsome guy. He must be a wealthy sheep herder. You know, he's got fancy clothes on. That's what they do in the synagogue. Everybody's looking at, they probably do it in church too, but I grew up in the synagogue. So in my synagogue, I went to the synagogue where the owner of the New England Patriots and Congressman Barney Frank was there, and the owner of Reebok, chairman of Reebok, was in there. A lot of wealthy, wealthy people. And everybody, on the holidays, everybody would stand around looking at see everybody's outfit. That's a fancy suit. Bet that's a Brooks Brothers. Bet that's a $2,000 Armani suit. Wow, they look sharp. Ah, that's a wealthy family. People would whisper and talk about, and the closer you sat to the front, the richer you were, the more you sat to the back, because you had to buy your seats. That's the way it was. By the way, if you're watching, we don't charge you to come. You can come for free. If you want to give, make a donation, you're welcome to make a donation. We'll teach you about how biblical donating goes. But we don't charge you to come. Services are free here. All right. So let's go on. So we talked about others who demonstrated, and the apostles, they dropped their nets to follow Yeshua when all he said was, "Follow me." Are you that sensitive to his presence that you could hear his voice and drop everything to follow him? Are you so sensitive to his presence that you could drop your nets, leave everything, even your family, like Mark 10:29, and your wife, if he called you, in your house, in your job, would you do it? Would you recognize the calling? Would you recognize the Lord's voice? He says, "My sheep hear my voice and they know me. And they follow me." I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about believers in tune with the Lord, ready, willing, and able to answer the call to serve. And by the way, Fred, you might be interested to know, there was a lady in Pennsylvania who called us. Did you hear about that one? On the cell phone, yeah, and she was handing out the Last President of the United States newsletters, which you can see, the Last President of the United States, at our website, forzionsake.org, Z-I-O-N, no apostrophe S, forzionsake.org. You can see the newsletter, the last president of the United States. She handed it to the man from that major Christian magazine, I won't name him, who's also a publisher, someone I've been trying to reach, really, and get in contact with for several years, and she handed him a copy of that newsletter that you've been handing out for almost three years now. And please pray that he reads it. Please pray that he, you know, that he acts on it. That he not only reads it, that he acts on that. The last president of the United States. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray that now. Lord, we just pray for that man. You know his name. We pray that he reads that newsletter and that he doesn't rest until he reads it. And that if that lady in Pennsylvania, I didn't ask her to pass it to him. I don't even know who she is. But I thank you for that lady. And I pray that he reads that newsletter and he's touched. That you prick his heart. And that he searches me out and checks my references and calls me. And or show me if you want me to call him. In Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord. Would you recognize the tap on the shoulder if it came from the Lord or his messenger? There was a guy in Abingdon at the music store that up there in Abingdon 20 years ago, and he told us that Franklin Graham asked him to go to Africa with him. Franklin Graham. He said, I'm making $10 an hour. I'm not giving that up. I'm making $10 an hour in this music store. Well, he's not in the music store anymore. And I don't know where he is, but he's not with Franklin Graham either. He missed his calling. He missed his calling. Hopefully he found another one. I don't know. If you get a chance to serve, if Franklin Graham or the head of Jews for Jesus or the overseer of the Church of God taps you on the shoulder, say yes. Pray about it. Go to your pastor. But don't just automatically say no. Say, let me pray about it. Let me. Don't say no. Just say, let me chew on this. Okay, let me, and then go get some advice and prayer and fast. God will show you what to do. I love the story of the Shunammite woman, 2 Kings 4, 8 through 37. We are told that Elisha the prophet would pass through her town, Shunem, fairly often. She suspected that he was a man of God, so she invited Elisha to her to a dinner. She invited Elisha to dinner. And every time he'd come through town, she would invite him to come eat. And she became convinced with her husband that he was a man of God, and she built an upper room. An aliyah. She built an upper room for Elisha the prophet with a bed. You can read it in 2 Kings 4, 8 through 37. The bed and a desk and a lamp that he might have a place to study, a place to rest when he came through town, a watering hole, a place to eat. Amen? For free. She wanted the blessing. You get a blessing. When you recognize a man of God, when I recognize a man of God, I bless him. Amen? If I recognize a real man of God, I'm going to bless him whatever way I can. That means buying his dinner. Whatever I can do to bless the man of God, I'm going to bless him. That's what she did. We can learn from that. Her husband, they were wealthy. They built a room for him. She was no dummy. I particularly like this story because she vetted the prophet. She made sure her hunch that he was a man of God was correct. She had him to dinner. She checked him out. She figured out he was the disciple of Elijah, the famous prophet of Israel. And she knew who he was. Amen? There is much deception, brothers and sisters, in the world today. Many false teachers and preachers who are not sent by God. Conclusion. If Paul or the apostles walked into your synagogue or church, dirty, unshaved, unshowered? Would you show them honor? Would you bring them to the front of the church, front of the synagogue? Would you give them the seat of honor in the house? Or would you just look at them sideways and move along, try to get as far away from them as you could? Would you recognize who they were? Or would you see their uncleanness outwardly or their strange appearance and move over to another pew? How many of us in the whole body, I'm not just talking this room, would do that? If those men came and showed up, you know, having walked through the desert for a week or two or three without bathing, without washing their clothes, with grime, with sweat, how many of us would recognize and be able to get past the outward? Another way you recognize a man of God is by their fruits. Matthew 7:15-20 says, "We shall be known by our fruit." We shall be known by our fruit. If you see, if the man of God is bears fruit, you know, there's people here who've been healed. Wendell has had his back healed many times. I don't know, he must have slipped out, but you know, how many of you have gotten healings or seen healings? Were you there last year when we seen that guy get out of the wheelchair at the was it Grace Point, had that service at the mall, and the man got out of the wheelchair after I laid hands and prayed for him, and he stood up out of a wheelchair for many months in the wheelchair. I didn't raise him out of the wheelchair. I just prayed for him. God did it. But I said to him, Were you there, Fred? Did you see that? Amen? Do you see it? You see it, Diane? On the testimony of two, a matter is established. Amen? Of two or more. Guy got out of a wheelchair. Been in it for months. And you know what I said to him after I prayed for him? I said, "How do you feel?" He said, "Pretty good." I said, "You want to get up?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Take my hand." Well, he took my hand. He stood up, and then he walked. And he probably lived many months longer. He died about a year ago. But he probably lived a lot longer because he was walking with a cane and not sitting in that wheelchair. Amen. I've seen three people get out of wheelchairs by God's power through these hands. I've led hundreds to the Lord. The masses are swayed by false teachers and prophets. Millions are more like Lot's sons-in-law than like Lot or Peter or Abraham. Ways to discern better. You want to discern God? You want to discern God's people? And who is a man of God for real? Or a woman of God? Pray more. Increase your prayer life. You want to discern better who a man of God is or a woman of God? Read the Word more. You want to discern better who a man or woman of God is? Who's the real thing? When I came to town, I said, "Lord, show me the real deal." You know where he sent me? To the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. I said, "Lord, show me the real deal." He didn't say it was in this town. He sent me to the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, connected me with a guy named Joel Chernoff. He said, "You're not in covenant with your own people." That's what the Lord spoke to my heart. You're not in covenant with your own people. So I went and I got ordained through them. I went through their seminary. I became an associate rabbi, because he told me to, and God confirmed it. And then I became a full rabbi. I was a pastor. I was already ordained a pastor. But God told me to become a rabbi. I asked God, "God, show me the real thing. Do you know what the real thing is? You people watching online, do you know what the real thing is? You talk about prophets. You talk about teachers. You talk about gold dust falling and all this stuff and things like that. Did you ever ask God to show you what the real thing is? Who the real thing is? Show me the real deal. Be active in praise and worship. Don't just worship at service, but at home, in the shower, in your car, in your kitchen, when you walk. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. I try to read my Bible every day. I'm not perfect, but I try. And I try to read the Word of God every day. I always listen to praise music every day. I'm listening to praise. I may not constantly listen to praise, but I do listen to praise worship every day. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We have not because you ask not. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You don't recognize God when you're out and about. You don't see men of God, and I don't meet many in this town, I'll tell you. I don't know. Maybe you know. If you can introduce me to some, I don't get. The Lord doesn't call me and say, you need to go over here, Rabbi Joe. And I don't mean to cast dispersion or denounce anybody by name or anything. But the Lord just doesn't speak to me. And I believe I hear from the Lord. He doesn't, you know, it's like a man, it says, a man shall not be a prophet in his hometown. I used to get sent by God to go to church. He would send me over to Elk Park, North Carolina, to attend Blue Ridge Mountain Church. He would send me to churches on Sundays just to sit there and listen to the sermon. He hasn't done that in a long time. I got a free trip to the Cove this week. I couldn't go because my wife couldn't go with me. I didn't want to go by myself. Billy Graham's assistant, Franklin Graham's, the guy that runs the Crusades or the celebrations, I won it for free from them because I helped them out with their. I helped introduce them to pastors. But I didn't go. God didn't tell me to go. So I didn't go. I'm not against it. I believe in the church. I want to work with the church. But I'm only one. I'm one man of God. If Christians really want to work with Jews, they need to come work with me. I can't go knocking on doors. There's too many churches. They need to come to me. Because I'm the only Messianic Jew in this town. I'm the sheriff in these parts. All right. Do you wish to see miracles and for them? Attend prayer meeting regularly. I'm going to have prayer. We had prayer at my house and worship last Saturday night. Me, Diane, and Terry. We played worship, praise and worship, and we prayed praise. We broke and fellowshipped. Then we came back and we did worship, and then we had prayer. We didn't have food, just the three of us, Terry, Scott, Diane and myself, last Saturday night at my house. If folks would like to come tonight, if I can get a big enough group of people interested in coming tonight, you're welcome to come. Let me know after service. People in this room, let me know if you want to come, and we'll do it at my house. 7:30, get together. We'll have some praise in my living room. We'll fellowship. We'll do some worship. And we'll pray. We'll say goodnight. Amen? You want to have some soft drinks? You want to have some, you know, refreshments? It's fine. We can do that. Or we can just hang out. Eat your dinner. Come on over. I open my living room. Does anybody play an instrument besides me? Anybody play? Carolyn, you going to come tonight? Who's interested in coming? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Well, great. Then see me afterward, and I'll give you my address. Okay. And James, and if you're interested watching online and you want to come too, you come here and I'll let you come to my house. All right. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Do you wish to see miracles? Ask for them. Attend prayer meeting regularly. Lastly, Mark 11, 17, 20, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. You will see miracles. If a person is truly a man of God, you will see salvations. You'll see fruitfulness. You will see miracles, healings, and how many of you in this room today maybe have either received a healing or seen somebody healed miraculously here? Raise your hand. There's not many left. Several left. Raise your hand if you've seen people healed miraculously in this synagogue through the years. Anybody have seen somebody? Praise the Lord. There's too many to name. People have been healed of cancer. People have been at the bagel shop. A lady got out of a wheelchair. Wendell was hit by a 1,300-pound chute from a concrete mixer about 6 months ago, 8 months ago. And it swung loose and hit him in a foundation, dragged him across the foundation, 1,300 pounds of wet concrete landed on his chest. And Wendell took that concrete chute and pushed it off like a log. And it wrecked his back, and he couldn't barely move. But he came here on Shabbat. Who's there that day? Raise your hand. Did God heal him? He healed him. Amen. He hurt his back again picking up a heavy stone, and he was out of work for 2 weeks. He was on muscle relaxants, and he'd take muscle relaxants to work, and he'd take muscle relaxants to go to bed. He came. I said, Wendell, want to carry the Torah? He came up and grabbed the Torah. What did God do? God healed him. Picked up the Torah. God healed his back. That's just one story. One night in prayer, we had a little girl. She had a fever. I said, bring her to me. I laid hands on the little girl. God took the fever. Didn't that happen somewhere in the Bible? Wasn't that Peter's mother-in-law? She had fever. Didn't the Lord go and lay hands on her and cast the fever out? The little girl, fever left her, and she went off and played with the children. She was like a wilted flower lying on the benches. She was a wilted flower, sweating, hair was all flat. She was just sick. I said, bring her to me. She ran off and played with the kids for the rest of the night. Fever never came back. And you know what? When Jesus did it, the whole town came to get healed. That next Saturday, nobody knew came. And I said, why? Why didn't anybody come? Because nobody told anybody. Nobody cared. Oh, it's just a miracle. It's just a miracle of Jesus. How can you can bear fruit. If you don't have the gift of healing, but you see someone who does, and you see it happen, you can go and tell people, hey, there's a man with the gift of healing. Go and see him. And I'll watch somebody get healed over there. Go over there, and maybe you'll get healed. Now, I can't guarantee it. God does the healing, right? But these signs will follow those who are the real thing. Amen? Amen. Not just me. I'm anybody. You should see these signs. Not just me. And it shouldn't be some guy talking in the ear telling somebody, this guy on a TV saying, this... this guy has liver cancer, and some guy in a microphone tells of the man laying hands, you have liver cancer, you're healed in the name of Jesus, and the guy falls back, and it's remember that stuff's gone on, sad. Anyway. I'm gonna close it. I could go on about Sodom and Gomorrah, about judgment and Zephaniah, but I'm not gonna do that. maybe we'll talk about it tonight. But anyway, I hope that this message helped you process how to discern God in when God shows up. Maybe I should have called this message "When God Shows Up," "When God Comes to Town." Please stand up. I want to bless you. Ooh, I felt that one. Amen. I'm gonna offer prayer, but I'm gonna bless you, and then I'm gonna offer prayer, and I'm gonna want to turn off the cameras, and let me just give the blessing first, and we'll turn off the cameras. Folks on Facebook, we love you. And thank you for watching. You can sign up for our newsletter on at our website, www.forzionsake.org. And let me give the blessing. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing on the people. Yivrechech Aronai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Aronai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom." May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, Shabbat shalom. God bless you. Thank you for coming.